Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, good morning, everyone. It is so good to see you here. Good morning to those of you who are joining in with us online. We are so glad to have you here. It's good for all of us to be here together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, I think about just what we have beheld this morning. Praise be unto your great and awesome name. You are a great God, Lord, and thank you for loving us. And a demonstration of that love, Jesus, he took my place. Divine exchange, hallelujah, grace is mine. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for loving us and a great demonstration that you would go to the cross and die for our sins. And Lord, we thank you that we can continue to place our trust in you. It doesn't stop there. Now we will live by faith in the one who saves. He gave all to give us life. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be open, Lord, to hear the truth of your word and all that's contained. Lord, we pray that you will be glorified. Help us, Lord, Father, to be fashioned and shaped and formed to be people of God who walk by faith. Lord, reaching out and loving others and doing all of that for your glory. We thank you for it, Lord, and we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone, again. It's so good to have you all here. We will continue the Rooted series. This is the third sermon in this series of others that are going to be coming up and also today, where we are going to spend a little time in the latter part of chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians and also the entire third chapter of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to have an opportunity to read through that, and I'd like for you to join in with me in doing just that. You know, one of the things that we will have an opportunity to talk about and to think about is this: how to truly love and care for others, and that being a foundation for our faith. And that being part of what we will be rooted and grounded in doing and what the Lord wants for us to do. And so we'll have a chance to talk about that and to look into that as we're looking into God's word. We should truly care for one another and for all people. And in our text here, we see the Apostle Paul's heart for these new converts in Thessalonica. And we'll read about this in just a little bit. He expresses his care for his new children in the faith in a very emotional language. And for those of you that have been here for the past couple of Sundays, and we've had the chance to read the first two chapters here, you see that's exactly a commonality with Paul. And not only in this epistle, but all the others that he's written also, where you are able just to see his heart for people through what's being read here. He wants them to know how deeply he feels about them and how painful his forced separation from them has been. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. And this theme that we have here is going to run through chapter 3. Paul's example is going to teach us that if we want to impact people for eternity, we must care for them deeply. Now, here's what I'd like for us to do. There are several slides that we have here of this passage, and I want for us to read this passage responsively. So I'll start off by reading the first slide and then have you to join in to read the other slide, and then we'll just change off slide to slide and do it that way until we complete the passage that we're going to be looking at this morning. If you will, let's all stand together for those of you that are able to as we read this passage here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 17 is where we'll start, and we will go through chapter 3, verse 13. Here's what it shares. It says, "But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the most eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before the Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy." Let's read together. "Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith. that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. Yeah, for when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. And for this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly, night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. This is the word of God. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to have the opportunity as we look here. We're going to take a look at these things this morning. We're going to look at the unbreakable relationship and deep affection that's being expressed in chapter 2, verses 17 through 20, the first part of that. And then we will go to supporting one another through trials. We have to talk about trials today. And so that's what we're going to do, and we're going to spend a good amount of time talking through that. And then finally, enabled by God, what he will share with us in those last two verses of the passage that we're looking at is content in prayer. And so we'll have a chance to look at those things. So a little background about what we're talking about here for 1 Thessalonians. Paul has been going around starting several churches in various areas, and he has landed here in Thessalonica. And while landing here and building the church, his visit was stopped suddenly, cut short suddenly, because of persecution. Paul and his team had to be sent away. And when they were sent away, they went to Berea and they ministered there. And they were being persecuted by Jews who were jealous for what they were doing. And these Jews had also gotten word that they are now in Berea, and so they had gone there also and started another ruckus too, and started to build this up too. And so the opponents had from Thessalonica had come, they'd stirred up trouble there, and then they were sent off again. And this time they had gone to Athens. And so in our passage this morning, as I go on down here, Paul, in his great concern for the young church, sent Timothy back to kind of check in, to see where things are, to see how they're doing, to see if they're continuing to stand strong in their faith. And then Timothy has heard back, Timothy has relayed back to Paul a report that he found quite beneficial and reasons for rejoicing, and we'll get into that too, and to talk about that in just a little bit. So Paul now shares his heart to let these people know how much he cared about them and how he would come back and be with them at a moment's notice if he could. So now, this is the first thing we learn here. If we truly care for one another, we will want to be together. If we truly care for one another, we will want to be together. I want you to note some things here. The desire to be together stems from our genuine caring for one another. Verse 17, let me read this. It says here, but since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavor the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face. Greek word here translated was used to refer to children who had lost their parents or to parents who were separated from their children. You have to understand that for Paul, this was an emotionally painful ordeal. See, Paul assures the Thessalonians that although they were out of sight, they were not out of mind or heart. And he continues to pile up words to express his deep feelings. The word translated desire here is used in a pure sense to refer to strong emotional desire, not to lust as you see in some of the other places here. We can also hear his feelings for these spiritual children when he tells them, as we look and we will see in chapter 3, verse 10, we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face. In Philippians 1, verse 8, he uses different words, but it's just equally as emotional. And he wanted to tell the Philippians, though, that he has them in his heart. It says in there, for God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with an affection of Christ Jesus. And even on a personal level, he later tells Timothy, his son in the faith, in 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 4, says, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day, as I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. And in our text here, Paul calls the Thessalonians brethren, or brothers and sisters. You see, when the Holy Spirit causes people to be born again, they become our brothers and sisters in the faith. We're family, and families should want to get together often. God has designed the family as the basic unit of society. You know, your family should be the place where you're accepted just because of who you are. Not because of anything deserving that you've done. And the church is the family of God. But there's one thing that we can be assured of, and that is this: our enemy works to hinder our getting together. Notice here in verse 18, it says here, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. And although we may not think about it much or recognize his sinister schemes, we wrestle against the unseen spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places, as Ephesians 6 shares with us. You know, like a wolf preying on a flock of sheep, Satan knows that it's easier to pick off the sheep that's not straying with the flock. See, if he can keep us from being together, then we're more vulnerable to his temptations and those that come to us from the world and the flesh. You know, the word that Paul uses for hindered was used of an army as cutting through a road that the other army could not easily get through. See, Paul knew from the Old Testament that while Satan can harm God's people, he can only go as far as God in his wise purpose permits. See, God gave Satan permission to inflict great suffering on Job, but not to take his life. You see, sometimes the Lord has a purpose that we don't understand, where he uses the devil to oppose us or to hinder our way. He may use the devil to keep us humble, as he did with Paul's thorn in the flesh. You know, he may want us to wait on him in prayer for a period of time, as happened with Daniel. But we should remember that our unseen enemy doesn't want for us to be together, not with other believers, where we would be spiritually encouraged and strengthened. Yes, there are times for separation when it may be necessary, but it's not a regular thing for us to do. And the result of being together will be overflowing joy in the presence of the Lord Jesus at his coming. Verses 19 and 20 shares with us, for what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before the Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Paul again here piles up words to emphasize how much the Thessalonians meant to him. You know, he calls them our hope, our joy, our crown of exhortation. Hope, you know, that confident expectation that existed in their hearts in light of the prophetic promises of the word. Joy, the joy of seeing them in heaven. That would bring great joy. Seeing them being rewarded would be even greater joy. And the crown of boasting, that is the Christian's delight in being commended for faithful service by the Lord at his return. And he adds here in chapter 2, verse 20, for you are our glory and joy. You know, in like manner in Philippians 4, he shares with them that they are his joy and crown. Galatians 6 says everything was due to God's grace alone, seen supremely in the cross. So the point here is that if we care for one another, we should deeply desire to be with one another often. And the point of being together is not just to talk about sports or to talk about the weather, although there's nothing wrong with small talk, though, per se, but rather to strengthen and encourage one another spiritually, so that in the day of Christ we may have reason to glory because we did not labor in vain. Second of all, I want us to look at this, supporting one another through trials. If we truly care for one another, we will strengthen and encourage one another spiritually when we are together. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 shares with us, therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith. Paul's intense anguish in wondering how the Thessalonians were doing led him to send Timothy, who could slip into town without, you know, the notice that Paul would have drawn had he gone. Timothy is like a faithful son to Paul in his labors in the Lord. See, Paul was more concerned for the spiritual well-being of the Thessalonians than he was for his own comfort. See, showing genuine care for one another means putting others' needs ahead of your own. But love is willing to sacrifice to help others spiritually. The main idea where we need to be strengthened and encouraged is in our faith. Faith is trusting in the truth of God about Jesus Christ as revealed in his word. So ongoing faith in God and the promises of his word, especially centered on the person and work of Jesus Christ, is essential. Something else that goes along with that is this: trials are a main hindrance to being strengthened and encouraged in our faith. Paul sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage them in their faith. Verses 3 through 5 reads that no one would be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were going to suffer affliction, just as it had come to pass and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. Now, the passages of Scripture, though, in John 15 and 16, Jesus plainly told his disciples, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And in chapter 16, he says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. We can spend all our lives dwelling on that first part when we should be spending our lives dwelling on that second part. Christ has overcome the world. And something that we need to do, we need to teach new believers early on to expect trials and how to handle them by trusting the Lord. Trials will come. They'll come as a test of the genuineness of our faith. Now, Paul's anxiety or fear for the Thessalonians here was not the sinful anxiety that comes through lack of prayer. No, he's constantly praying for these new converts. Rather, this was his godly concern for all the churches. See, it was the concern of a spiritual parent for his children in the faith. It was the godly care that we all should feel for one another. You see, my brothers and sisters, if you see a believer going through trials, you should care enough to come alongside, to strengthen and to encourage him or her in their faith. You see, every Christian wants God to use his or her life to impact others for eternity. And to impact people for eternity, we must truly care about them in a way that they'll feel it. You see, our caring is like the key that opens the door for the gospel and for the truths that are necessary for them to grow in their faith. See, caring alone isn't enough without the truth of the gospel. But truth without caring usually will be met with resistance, not acceptance. One of the great things that we've had a chance to do is when we've gone on a missions trip and we've gone overseas, we've not only had the opportunity to share the gospel and to witness to the people over there in those lands, but we also had along with us 50-pound bag of rice. So we had a chance to help meet needs, and then the door was open for us and an opportunity to be able to share the gospel. We know what was most important. If we truly care for one another, we're going to rejoice when we hear of other stability in the faith. Paul was greatly concerned, praying constantly that the persecution had not caused these new believers to turn from the Lord. But then when Timothy finally returned and gave him the good news about their spiritual condition, Paul was ecstatic. Faith in Christ and love for God and for one another are the goals for spiritual stability. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 3:6, it says here, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you, and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us, as we also long to see you." See, that's good news. Timothy's good news about the Thessalonians was like hearing the gospel to Paul. You know, it caused his heart to leap for joy. Paul had observed both the faith and love of the Thessalonians. You know, he mentions here in chapter 1, verse 3, their work of faith. He adds there in chapter 1, verse 8, "For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything." You know, it also refers to their faith in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 2 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 10. And in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1, verses 4 and 11 And in chapter 2, verses 13, he mentions their labor of love in 1 Thessalonians 3, which refers to the love of others, stemming from their love for God. He also refers to their love for others in 1 Thessalonians 3 and 4 and 5 and in 2 Thessalonians, where he mentions the love of God, which probably refers to God's love for us. So with other essential qualities such as holiness, we can say that faith and love are also prime marks of genuine Christianity. We must believe in God and the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. We must continue trusting God, even in the midst of difficult trials, as the Thessalonians were doing. We must love God with all our hearts and love one another, which are the two greatest commandments that we find in Matthew 22. When God's people are walking in faith and love, they are spiritually stable. When we look at verse 7 here, joy over someone's stability in the faith can bring encouragement even when we're going through afflictions. Verse 7 says, "For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and afflictions, we were comforted about you through your faith." You know, Paul had been going through hard times in every city where he preached. You know, he was unjustly beaten. He was put in stocks. He was thrown into prison in Philippi. He was even forced to leave Thessalonica because of persecution. But when he heard that the Thessalonians were standing firm in their faith, he was reassured that he had not labored in vain. He was then encouraged. He had sent Timothy to encourage the Thessalonians. But now, Timothy's report about their spiritual stability encouraged Paul. Joy over someone's stability in the faith will also reflect our true values. In verses 8 and verses 9, we find here, "For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for all the joy that we feel for your sakes before our God?" Paul didn't take credit for the Thessalonians' stability in the faith. Rather, what he did is he thanked God for them because their perseverance through persecution showed that God was truly at work in them. Stand firm. It's a military term that's used of not retreating in the face of an attack. You know, to stand firm in the Lord implies that they were truly in the Lord through faith in Christ and that he was their refuge. And when the enemy attacked, they fled to the Lord and trusted him. The Old Testament, when David was hiding in a cave from Saul and his troops who were seeking his life, what did he do? He sang. Maybe not real loud, but he sang. Psalm 57 and 7 shares with us, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody." You know, that's the resolve of standing firm in the Lord. You know, if you really care for people, and when you hear that they're standing firm in the Lord, even through trials, then you rejoice. You give thanks to God. So, faith in Christ and love for God and for one another are goals for spiritual stability. Joy over someone's stability in the faith can bring encouragement even when we're going through trials. Joy over someone's stability in the faith reflects our true values. And I also want to talk about this. Stability of faith comes through teaching God's word. Verse 10 shares this with us. It says, as we pray most earnestly, night and day, that we may see you face to face and may supply what is lacking in your faith. The way that Paul would have completed what was lacking in their faith was by teaching them God's word. Paul uses this in Ephesians 4, where he says that God gave the church, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, the pastors, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. See, the Thessalonians here lacked the full maturity that comes through further understanding of the truth revealed in God's word. But we see here, and we'll find in chapters 4 and 5, that Paul supplies in writing some of that which he would have given them in his personal teaching when he was able to come to them. Verse 10 mentions Paul's constant fervent prayers, while verses 11 through 13 voice more of the content of those prayers. If we truly care for one another, we will pray for others' continued spiritual growth. Our prayers should be heartfelt and frequent. Notice here the fervency of Paul's prayers. He prayed night and day. Paul meant here frequently. Repeatedly, most earnestly reflects his heart. He felt deeply the desire to be with these new believers to help them grow in their faith. And we have to be careful. We shouldn't turn our fervency or earnestness in prayer into a basis for why God should grant them. No, we always come to him based on the merit of Jesus Christ and his grace, never on any worthiness in us. But one of the things we also should see, too, at the same time, we shouldn't just come and pray and then go about our own business. Now, if we, as if it's something we're going to check off. Now, if we feel deeply about others' needs, we'll keep knocking on their behalf until the Lord answers. As it was, Paul had to keep praying for about 5 years before God granted him the opportunity to return to Thessalonica. Book of Acts shares that with us. And our prayers are directed to our God and Father and to Jesus our Lord. Verse 11 shares with us, now may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you. Three things in this short request show Jesus' deity: his close association with the Father, his ability to hear and answer prayer, and his designation as Lord. Paul attributed the highest possible place to Jesus. And when we pray, we come to a loving heavenly Father who cares for his children, and to Jesus our Lord, who gave himself on the cross for us and lives to make intercession for us. Our prayers are focused on the spiritual growth of others. Let me read for you verses 12 and 13, and here's what it shares. It says, and may the Lord make you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Here, spiritual growth means increasing love. See, we should be growing in love for our family members and for those in the family of God, the church. But also, please note, our love should increase and abound for all people too. And also spiritual growth here means increasing in solid, holy hope. Establish is the same word translated strengthen. And to be without blame in holiness does not imply that we can be sinless in this life, but rather that we would be walking in the light before God on the heart level, maintaining a clear conscience before him and before others. And we're not harboring secret sins while we put on a good front before others. We live that way in view of the fact that we will soon stand before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen. So I'd like for us to take a look at the next steps here. We're encouraged by this because we see that the church at Thessalonica, even though they faced what they had to face, where it comes in and Paul is sharing and loving on them and immediately has to be taken away, that they don't give in, because the message that Paul shares is a message that they hold on to, and that's the message of Christ. And they continue to grow in that way. And Paul, knowing his love for them, didn't leave them alone. He continued to pray for them night and day. He sends someone to them to encourage them that they may be built up strong in their faith. Oh, God, thank you so much for being such a wonderful Lord. Our first next step here is I will model the character of Christ as seen in Paul in my life. Paul shares with us in another passage of Scripture, follow me as I follow Christ. We live like Paul as Paul lives like Christ. Demonstrates those characters, those characteristics, how he loves. We can love one another in that same manner, in that same way. But we make the choice, we choose to do just that, to model with our lives. Even if it's at a standpoint, it's at a time where you feel like nobody's looking at you, that you're still modeling Christ, that you still love Christ, that you're still living for him, that you're walking by faith. Number two, I will persist through stressful times to demonstrate my love for others. Knowing full well that stressful times will come. Knowing that we will have those trials that we face on a consistent daily basis. Remembering that we have been warned that they would come. We persist, not doing our own thing, but increasing our trust in the Lord, walking in his ways. Living as he seems fit. And then this gives us the opportunity as we are building and growing in our faith to understand and to love one another and to love others. We have that great, awesome privilege of being able to do just that. And then third, I'll pray for specific friends, family, and church for this week. And I want to add something on to that, too. Hope that you would make the commitment to pray for others also. We want you to fill out that connection card, and if you will, it gives us an opportunity to see exactly what it is that you would like to do, number one, and give us an opportunity to pray with you and for you. You know, as we're being rooted, as we're being grounded, as we are being strengthened in our faith, we have an opportunity to be with one another, to pray for one another, and to rejoice when all things continue to go well. But then, this is also our opportunity for those who have yet to trust Christ to hear the good news that we bear, that has changed our lives. And we hope that's what you'll do. We're going to sing a song, and once this song is done, the pastors are going to be right outside the double doors here over by the fireplace. I get too close to the fireplace, I'll be sweating even more, but would love to have the opportunity to see you, especially for those of you who have maybe only been here for one or two times. We'd love to have the opportunity to see you and to extend some love to you. Thank you all so much. God bless.